Scripture reading this morning comes from Joshua 24, verses 29 through 33. After these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in his own inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gesh. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. As for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem, in the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became an inheritance of the descendants of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him at Gibeah, the town of Phinehas, his son, which had been given him in the hill country of Ephraim. May God bless the reading of his word. You know, in this passage, in this final passage of the book of Joshua, we have three funerals. And now most, if not all of you, have been to a funeral. And funerals can be conducted in a variety of ways. And if you do a search for how funerals are conducted throughout the world, you'll find some very interesting and, frankly, some very bizarre ways that funerals are conducted. So there's a variety of ways they're done. And even in our own city, there are a variety of ways that funerals are conducted. However, there are usually some common elements that I've witnessed, at least through my experience with attending and presiding over funerals. Some common elements that I see are music. There's typically some type of music involved in a funeral service. Prayers are usually offered during that time. And readings from the scripture seem to be very common elements among funerals, at least the ones I've attended here in Augusta. Now, sometimes in a funeral service, you would have what's called a eulogy. Now, some Christian traditions prohibit the use of a eulogy, but most of the funeral service that I've attended here in Augusta has had a eulogy as part of the service. And eulogy simply means good words, is what a eulogy is. And usually a pastor or a close family member or friend will give the eulogy. And when someone gives a eulogy at a funeral service, they're attempting to summarize a person's life in about 5 or 10 minutes. That's typically how long a eulogy lasts in a funeral service, 5 to 10 minutes. And the eulogy speaks about the person's influence, especially their influence on the people that have gathered at that service, on friends, family. And the unique characteristic of the eulogy is that you don't write your own eulogy, but it is written for you by those who knew you best or who were closest to you. And so I wonder, have you ever thought about what will be said in your eulogy? How will your family and friends sum up your life in 5 minutes? You know, as we come to the end of the book of Joshua, we read about three funerals of three men that greatly influenced an entire generation. And each of these men were different, and they carried out different roles within the nation of Israel, but they shared one great similarity, and that is they shared great faith in God. And so in the few verses here at the end of the book of Joshua, we have three faith-filled funerals. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to take you through each one and share with you their eulogies. The first funeral we see was for Joshua, who died at the age of 110. And when you look back throughout all the Old Testament, I think you would have to say Joshua was one of the greatest leaders of God's people. He comes on the scene as one of the 12 spies that Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan. And despite having the minority opinion with Caleb, they believed that they could take the land no matter what the opposition was that they faced, because God was able, Of course, the 10 spies prevailed that day and convinced the people not to take God at his word and move forward by faith. And so Joshua belonged to a generation who failed to trust God to take the land that God had promised to give them. And so the consequence of that was that Joshua and Caleb wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of that generation's lack of faith. But at the death of Moses, God appointed Joshua as the leader of his people. And Joshua was given the task to take the land of Canaan and to remain faithful to the Lord. Now, because Joshua and Caleb were part of that original spy campaign, you know, I was trying to do the math to figure out, okay, how long did Joshua lead the people? Well, we know from chapter 14, as the people of Israel were nearing the end of their campaign to take the land of Canaan, that chapter tells us that Caleb was 85 years old. And so the scripture tells us that Joshua died at the age of 110. And so what this means was that Joshua led the people for at least 25 years. He was the leader for at least 25 years. And during that 25 years, as we've studied, Joshua faced numerous challenges as the leader of the people of Israel, both from outside of Israel and within Israel. He faced challenges as well. But despite these challenges and these obstacles, Joshua remained faithful to the Lord. And even during his last charge that we looked at last week, his last charge to the nation, he could say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua is a great example of faithfulness. In verses 29 through 31, we see Joshua's eulogy. It says, "After these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in his own inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all of the work that the Lord did for Israel." I want to just point out two significant statements here. First is that Joshua is referred to as the servant of the Lord. And what you need to know is this is the first time he is given this title throughout the book of Joshua. This title was the one given to Moses, and now it is bestowed upon Joshua, which speaks to his faithfulness throughout his life. You know, as followers of Jesus, we can't help but think about the parable of the master giving the talents to his servants, and the master going away on a journey and then returning and saying to his servants who were faithful and dealt with his talents wisely, he would tell his servants, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And surely that's what Joshua heard as he entered into the presence of the Lord. So first, Joshua is referred to as the servant of the Lord. He was faithful. Second statement is found in verse 31. It says, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua." I mean, can you think of a better eulogy than that? That Israel served the Lord all the days of his leadership? You know, his legacy was not only did he serve the Lord throughout his extended lifetime, he lived to be 110, but he also influenced an entire nation to serve the Lord. You know, the influential power of modeling a life of faith cannot be overstated. You know, Billy Graham once said that courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. And I believe that quote is true, but I also believe that faith is contagious. And when a man walks by faith or a woman walks by faith, the faith of others is strengthened. And I believe that's what you see in Joshua. As Israel watched their leader, Joshua, trust God and walk by faith, they were challenged to do the same, and they did. Joshua was faithful, and his faithfulness was contagious. The second funeral was for Joseph, who also died at the age of 110. But what's unique about Joseph's funeral is that Joseph actually died just over 400 years prior to Joshua. And you may be saying, well, they just now getting around to the funeral? I mean, what's the holdup, right? But even though he died, you know, many years prior to this burial, you know, his life of faith continued to influence generations of God's people. You know, Joseph, if you know the story of Joseph, he had a less than stellar beginning. However, he experienced life change, and God used him in a great way by his grace. His life was shaped by difficult circumstances. And if you read the story of Joseph, you notice that Joseph did not allow those circumstances to make him a bitter person, but rather he became teachable, moldable in the hand of God, and used of God greatly. Joseph is a good example of someone whose life was changed and he finished well. He trusted the promises of God to the very end. And one of the main reasons we know that about Joseph, we know that his faith in God was strong up to the very end because he made the people of God make a promise to him before he died. And I want to read you what he told the people in Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. This is what he says. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land. Remember, they were in Egypt. And bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He's speaking of the land of Canaan. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died being 110 years old. Then in Exodus chapter 13, verses 18 through 19, we read this. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness. So we're reading about how God delivered the people out of Egypt. But God led the people around the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Verse 19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. And then Hebrews 11:22 sums it up by saying, by faith Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the Exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. You know, Joseph believed the promises of God. And even though he did not see them fulfilled in his lifetime, he knew that God would visit them. He knew that God would fulfill his promise to his people. And so he told them, when, not if, but when God comes and delivers on his promise, you need to take my bones out of Egypt and I want to be buried in the promised land. You know, the influential power of trusting God's promises and finishing well cannot be overstated. You know, Joseph's faith continued to influence people 400 years after his death and even influences us today. The third funeral was for Eleazar, the high priest, who faithfully served the Lord and helped his people worship the Lord. You know, Eleazar was a very influential leader who carried out his role as priest with no scandal that I'm aware of. He helped Joshua divide the land among the tribes. And there's a meaningful phrase in verse 33, and this is what we read. It says, and Eleazar, son of Aaron, died and was buried at Gibeah, which had been allotted to his son Phinehas. And, you know, maybe I'm reading into this a little too much, but I find it encouraging that Eleazar was buried on his son's property. You know, nothing is said about Joshua's family other than when Joshua made the statement, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But we know that Eleazar's son, Phinehas, followed in his father's footsteps and served the people as priest. You know, the influential power of a parent cannot be overstated. And Eleazar served the Lord throughout his lifetime, and his influence spread not only to his son, but to the entire nation. So if I had to eulogize these men, if I was given the charge to give a eulogy, you know, for these three men, I would make sure that I talked about how Joshua influenced a generation to serve the Lord. and how Joseph influences people to trust God's promises, and how Eleazar influenced the people and his son by serving the Lord in his vocation. Because here you have three men who were buried and honored for their influence. And that's how I would sum up their life to the listening crowd. Now I want to return to the question I asked you at the beginning. How will you be eulogized? You know, we're all influencing those around us. There's no question about that. But the question is, what type of influence are we having? What kind of legacy, what type of legacy are we building? Now, the good news is, you know, it's never too late to start building a godly legacy. You know, it's never too late to start living for God, to seek out the good of others and to glorify God with our lives. It's not too late to begin to model for our family and friends what it looks like to live a life of faith in Jesus Christ. You know, God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime without Him. So whether you have, you know, a year left or 50 years, it's not too late now to start living for the Lord. You can begin today to seek to influence those around you for the good and glorify God with your life. Because one day, I or someone else will sit around the table with your family and those closest to you, and I will ask them, or someone will ask them, tell me about your life. Tell me about this person's life. And you need to consider, what will they say? What will they say about your life? What will be said about what you love the most? You know, what will be said about how you treated your family, how you run your business? What will be said about your influence in this city? You know, what will be said about your relationship with God, your involvement with His people, His church, His mission? You know, I don't know about you, but when that time comes, and it will come, when that time comes and someone sits down with those who are closest to me, you know, I would want them to say, I was loved. I knew what it meant to be loved. And I knew what it looked like to walk with Christ by faith. And I hope what stands out above all the mistakes and all the accomplishments are those things. How they were loved and what they witnessed in my life. You see, these three faith-filled funerals are a sobering reminder that one day, either I or someone else will sit around the table with your family and friends, and we'll ask them these questions, and then we'll stand before those gathered at your funeral, and we will attempt to sum up your life in 5 minutes. And the question is, what will be said? What will be shared? You know, my hope is that each of us, even today, because like I said, it's never too late to start living for Christ. For some of you, you may need to start a relationship with Christ and turn from living your life apart from Him and pursuing Him, giving your life to Christ and begin living for Him and influencing others to do the same. But I hope today that we will all make a commitment to live for Christ, to love those around us, and to share the good news of the gospel, to tell people about who God is and how He's impacted our lives, telling them about the God we serve. Because it's never too late to begin to build this godly legacy. Let us pray. Father, we just come to You acknowledging the brevity of life, but at the same time, the lasting influence our lives can have, both now and on future generations. Just as we read these short verses at the end of this book about these three men, Joshua, Joseph, Eleazar, were impacted by their influence, by their faith, by how they trusted you. And although, Lord, we probably will not be given leadership over a nation, and we will not be given the same roles they were given, we have been given gifts. We have been given roles by you. We've been given friends and family and relationships. You've put us in this place at this time. Lord, help us to influence those around us for your glory. So that when people encounter us, they encounter you, your love, your truth. That as people encounter our lives, they experience something of your love for them. That what stands out in our lives is our love for you, our trust in you, our faith in you. Lord, that's what we want to be known for. Lord, help us today to make that commitment. And God, would you enable us to do this, to live for you. Above all else, may we live for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.